Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
Hopefully get to spend some time with you. So it's great to have you here. You want to hear some of my Spanish? Later? Yeah. And Jane Ann, you got a friend with you? Who you got? Come on. All the way from Nevada. That's great. Anybody else? All right. Well, yeah, Andrew. Come on, man. Come on, that's awesome. I see the Amy and your tribe back there. Love seeing you guys. It's just great to get our church family back around together. All right. Well, hey, we're going to talk this morning on the power of perspective and having a mindset that would reflect the mind of God and not just the mind of the day. And the more that we drink from the cup of today, the more we get drunk with the message of today, and we've got to be inundated with a much higher substance. We need to be inebriated from a well that does not run dry, but it's the highest source of all wisdom, life, insight, prophetic vision, and that is drinking from the mind of the Lord. And so we ought to be a people that sup at that table constantly. More so than just listening to the message of the day and the mottos of the hour and whatever the hot take is in the moment. We've got to be a people who drink from old ancient wells, namely the person of Christ, to be able to take the content, to put it into context of what's going on in our day. And he is a God who never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so with that mindset, how do we go into the days in which we live? We've got to access the wisest mind. And believe it or not, it's not Fox or CNN. I know that's a startling statement. There is someone that's got a little bit more insight on what is happening, who has way more authority on what is moving around in today. And if we do not access a higher perspective, we're going to get confused and muddled and what is going on. You ever heard the phrase, you can't see the forest from the trees? And whenever that's all that you're looking at, you don't have any sort of perspective. But if you're able to kind of get into an airplane and come up 10,000 feet, all of a sudden you see a way out. I can maneuver now. I can exit. The confusion and fog is gone and I can see clearly. And so we want to be a people who can have a different perspective and see things clearly. I spent some time in just outside of Chicago whenever I was a youth pastor in Crown Point. And we did this a couple times, but this picture right here is the Hancock Building. And it's one of the largest buildings in the U.S. It's the second in Chicago after the Sears, or what you might know now as Willis. But we all know we're going to call it the Sears Tower forever. Same thing, you know, Verlin Horner, we love you, but it's always going to be Driscoll's. The Hancock is 110 stories tall, and on the 106th floor, there's a restaurant. And you can go up there. Has anybody ever been up there? Come on, I know Mary Frances. We got a few of them out there. Been up there. And one time I went up there with Aaron Vogel, my raging Cajun friend from the deep and dirty South. As we're on there, they've got about 20 people on this elevator. And guess what he does? When we're about 80 floors up, he goes, "Hey, everybody, on a count of three, everyone jump." Freaked them all out. We didn't do it, but he got a good laugh out of it. So we go up here, and what we would do is we would take some of our youth, some of our high school kids that were like some of our youth leaders. And we would take them up there, And they thought they were just getting a day away with the youth pastor, and we're hanging out, and we do this drive in Chicago. But we go up there, and there's a bar area, and then there's kind of like this sunken restaurant area. We take a couple steps down, and there's this restaurant. So I would sit with one of our youth there, and we would start talking about perspective and how do you gain altitude to see differently on a perspective. And when you're only stuck in this lower landscape, how you see things. And whenever you're walking down Michigan Mile, it is crazy, this just massive confusion, people yelling and talking and cars flying by and horns honking and lights going on, people shopping, people stealing what you just bought. It is crazy on Michigan Mile. It is absolutely nuts. You just feel, especially when you're just coming from Fairmount or even smaller, Rigdon was my background. And so I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen this many cars, I mean, ever, right? And so here's this moment, and you're 106 floors up, and as you look down, you're like, all is well. It is so peaceful. The light just turned red and everyone stopped. And now it turned green and everyone took off. And people were not walking across the street and I couldn't hear any noises. It was quiet. It was powerful. It was just a cool perspective to see things differently. And I would take a kid up and we would look through the window, and on a windy day in the windy city, the building at the very top would move. You're like, whoa, this is cool. And as you're up there, you're looking and say, hey, man, I know whatever's going on with your parents, it's tough right now because that's all you can see. I know your dad's not awesome. I know that school's tough. I know you just got cut from the team. But we've got to lift our head. We got to see things differently. And I just want you to come up here, and what seems like Chicago is just so wild is incredibly manageable. I felt like I could manage Chicago from up there. You just gain a sense of confidence and almost authority whenever you elevate. And the Bible would say you are seated in heavenly places. You need to be seated with me and see as I would see. I want to lift your head and set your eyes upon the hill where your help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And people, when we're looking at things and we're not properly seeing it the way God would see it, our eyes are messed up. My parents, they would lead marriage retreat conferences for our church at Heartland Ministries. They would lead these different conferences. And one time we're up at Culver Lake, and they're taking like some inventory. Hey, is this where we want to do our next retreat? And we're walking around. And as we're inside kind of this four-year clubhouse area, my parents are talking about this sign that's out there, and can you read what's on that sign? I'm like, you guys can seriously read that? Like, that thing is so far away, I can't even see it. Like, what is going on? I can't see what that is. You beat me to the punch, man. I was gonna set it up. I had a whole setup, and it. So, about 12, 13 years old, we start seeing, man, Brock sees a little bit fuzzy, or it's not totally, and so they're like, well, hey, let's scoot up 10 feet. Can you read it? No. Can you scoot 10 more feet, 20 feet? Until I'm right up on it, could I start to see it? So in seventh grade, I got a pair of glasses. I went to the eye doctor, and they're like, you can't see, man. And like, you know, grab the butterfly feather that's sticking off of it or whatever, which number is raised. I'm like, oh, I don't know, bro. You're like going in studying the EI chart, like, you know, I was trying to memorize the whole deal. I can't see. So I had to get glasses. I also wondered why I couldn't ever hit a fastball in Little League. I thought I was just bad. Maybe it's because I couldn't see it. It's probably because I couldn't see it and I was bad. But then I got glasses. Eighth grade, I got contacts. But I'll tell you, this last, golly, I haven't been to the eye doctor since COVID, and I just went this last week. I called him up the end of July. I said, I need an eye doctor's appointment. I'm running out of contacts. Anybody else? Just me? Okay, yeah, there's a few of you out there. And so I'm like going days with not wearing them or like sleeping in them to make sure that they go, you know, longer or whatever. And it is amazing how much money I just spent and a doctor's appointment, and a year worth of contacts. You know why? Because vision is valuable, and you can't put a price tag on it. And so if you've got to buy glasses, contacts, get LASIK, whatever, because you get one set of these, and you better take care of them, because if you can't see, life is over. I'm not saying over. I know obviously blind people can continue to live a great life. I'm talking perspective is what I'm talking about. We're no longer physical. I'm talking about how you see the world matters. Otherwise, it gets jammed up quickly. Are y'all with me? You tracking? So the importance of putting a price on something that is priceless, we can't even go there. How you see, what you see, completely changes how you approach what is going on. Two different people can see the exact same thing two very different ways. The extreme ways. And I want to encourage us, let's see things the way God would have us see things. What is going on today, we need to see it with the mind and the eyes of God. And I'll tell you, he has not given you eyes of fear. He's not given you a spirit of fear. He's given us power, love, and a strong mindset. And so when it comes to mindset and perspective, we've got to marry our perspective with God. Otherwise, we're married up with something else that is far lesser than him. Whew, I feel like I could preach this morning. Last week, we talked about Moses, how he sent out the 12 spies. Are y'all with me on that? We were in Numbers 13 and Numbers 14, and he sent out the 12 spies. 10 of them came back in fear. They said, the place is amazing. It is awesome. But there's giants in the land. We look like grasshoppers in their eyes, right? We look like grasshoppers in our own. We surely look like grasshoppers in their eyes. And Moses partnered with their perspective more than he partnered with Joshua and Caleb's perspective. Isn't it wild that Moses had a few key leaders, and these were 10 leaders of tribes. These were his best. He didn't have good leadership around him. Part of the reason why Moses wandered for 40 years is he just didn't have good voices speaking into his life. He had jacked up mindsets, giving him reports. He checked in with the daily news. What's going on in the land of Canaan? What's going on in the promised land? It's still not good. It's still gloom and doom. And because he listened to a bad report, he was messed up for four decades. I want to encourage this man, who you run with and the voices you listen to absolutely matter to the perspective and vision that you're having. And it's valuable. How you see is one of the most valuable things on the planet. It then goes in, and in Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24, it said that Caleb, he was a guy who had another spirit. He had a different spirit. He had a different perspective on how he was going to see things. And I just believe that men and women of God, we are different. And we have to be different. We have to see with the mind of God. We've got to see through the lens of our Lord. We've got to be cross-eyed on this thing and see Jesus for who he is, that he reigns and rules over anything going on in the world today. He is a prince over a pandemic. He is a God over anything going on today. He is not nervous. He's not biting his nails. He's not pacing back and forth in heaven. He is fully confident. He's sitting on his throne, reigning and ruling today. And we as people of God got to get our confidence in a much higher place. I love you guys. And I love Jesus. And I love the mindset that he's able to give us. I believe that there's three E's that will either help or hijack your perspective. Experiences, education, and environment. Our experiences definitely shape how we see things, don't they? There's some people, they just hate authority because authority was hard. So they kick back against parents, against teachers, against police officers. They kick back against anybody. I just resist authority. Why? Because authority was abusive, and I just see it differently. There's women that will hold their husbands accountable for previous husbands' or boyfriends' mistakes. Well, he was just hard. I don't trust guys. Guys do this. And so everybody else has to pay the price because of what somebody else did. Because I had this experience, I now see things differently. Are y'all tracking with me? Richard Wright said this, "The impulse to dream has been beaten out of me by my experiences." And for some of us, we have just gone through some hard experiences in life. And I'm just talking about, you know, a pandemic of whatever's going on. I'm just talking about the experiences that you have walked through. They shape us. They're like, man, I wish I could dream. I wish I could be free. I wish I could be at a whole, I wish I just thought that way, right? I wish I could see things. And you're like, but it's just been beaten down in me. I just don't think like that. I don't operate. I don't have courage. I don't have, you know, I don't have faith. I live in fear. I don't operate this way because of experience over the course of time. We got a lady in one of our facilities who was born in one of our nursing home facilities who was born during the Great Depression. And she shares this story. She shares every day for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We got beans and potatoes, beans and potatoes, beans and potatoes. And she said, we ate that for years. And one day, I finally told my dad, I got enough courage and confidence. I said, Dad, I am kind of a little bit tired of beans and potatoes. Could we have something else tomorrow? And the dad, who just led with joy and perspective, he said, yeah, baby, we'll get you something different for tomorrow. I'll go out and get something different. And he comes in the next day and serves up dinner for him. And guess what it was? Beans and potatoes. And she's whining, and she's like, no, you got to be kidding me. No, I didn't want this. She goes, oh, no, baby, this is totally different. Tonight, we're going to have potatoes and beans. I want you to see it differently. I want you to match your perspective with mine. It's okay. It's all good. I know it's hard. I know it's intense. We're going to make it, baby. We got this. And if you don't have a voice that's got perspective and joy in the midst of the hardship, I'll tell you, we can swirl and spiral quickly, and it can just be a bummer. You've got to audit the voices coming into your ears, big time. And I'm not saying that we don't have legit things going on in our lives, absolutely, but you better get a perspective of God, because the enemy, if he can take anything, if he wants to attack anything, he wants to attack your perspective. He wants to grab your eyes and get them focused on the wrong things. Man, if he can hijack your eyes, he sure will. He sure will. He'll get you looking at all the wrong stuff. There's a goal, there is an end zone, and he's got you focused on the concession stand, on the cheerleaders. He's got you focused on everything else. We got a goal. We got to go somewhere, and you're looking everywhere else. The enemy, man, he is the chief of distraction. He might not totally steal your faith and make you fall away from Jesus, but if he can just distract you, keep you focused on things that really aren't what we're after, he wins. And I hate the devil. To hell with the devil. We gotta get remarried again to a perspective that is the mindset of Christ. Moses missed it, huh? Edward Abbey, he said this, "May your trails be crooked, windy, lonesome, dangerous, leading to the most amazing view." Oh, come on. There's an adventure spirit to that. It's a way to see things. Hey, we're lost and loving it. It's okay because we're on an adventure. It's going to be okay. I got the lion padding by my side. I got one much stronger than anything going on today. And so I stand confident, not in myself. I got nothing. I got no hope in and of myself. My hope is anchored in something much higher than myself or any report going on today. Either we believe this thing or we don't. Either we believe that he's a God of miracles or he isn't. We either believe that he's a God that can restore marriage or not. We either believe that he's a God that can heal my inner man where I'm so broken by the experiences that have beat me down, or he's not. He's just this weak, impotent God. Or he is all-powerful, all-knowing. He is the God who can bring it. He's the same from yesterday, which we read the breakthroughs in the Old Testament, to the same God today where he can breathe life into our mortal bodies. He is the authority over our lives. And there is not a single day that hasn't been numbered from the day that you were born. He knows when you were born, and he knows when you will exit. He is not surprised. He's not surprised. He is all-knowing. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knew the end from the beginning. Whenever he was writing this story in the final period, in the conclusion, he was already writing the preface and he knew it all. He is the preeminent one. This God that we're dealing with is powerful. And we better believe it. Otherwise, you are going to get sucked into something far less. And you're going to feed the fear, and it's going to hijack your perspective. Church, I am pleading and fighting for you. How you see changes how you live. How I see my kids, man, is God for them? Is God going to grace them and bless them? Is he going to fill them with the characters of Christ? I'm seeing things that way. I just can't help but believe my Bible. And if we're not believing the Bible, we might need to have a fresh encounter with Jesus. There's another one. There's another E, education. Sometimes our education, our own wisdom, can block us from a lifestyle of faith. We're so smart these days, man. We got it figured out. And we have so many sources to feed us information. Sometimes the more you know, the more fear, it just feeds the fear. I'm not saying that we shouldn't know. We should educate ourselves. But we need to educate ourselves in a throne room setting. I want to educate myself in the presence. Lord, as I'm taking in this information, I want you to wash it, cleanse it, educate my mind the way that you would educate yours. I want to be saturated in the presence. I want to learn. I want the voices speaking into me. They're speaking from a firm platform and a biblical worldview. That I want them, whenever they open up their mind, you realize every time somebody opens up their mouths, they're communicating their worldview. That's why our educators are so important, man. Every time they open their mouths, there's going to be something coming out that has a heart behind it that's a worldview. We've got to make sure that the voices that we're taking in has a biblical, God-centered, Christ-saturated, dripping in the mindset of heaven. We are Christians. We should think that way. But our education sometimes can take the faith out of our eyes, and we start seeing reality more so than the supernatural. And he's a supernatural God. And I just believe whatever's going on in your natural, he wants to put some super on your natural. He is a God who wants to come with power and transform some things, to see them. We live in this 3D world. He is a fourth dimensional God. He lives outside of the context and wants to speak some authority into it. This time of COVID, I believe, could be like a faith academy. We could go through faith school and just, God, let the trials of our faith produce perseverance and hope. James chapter 1. God, whatever we're going through, let me just go to the school of faith right now and to see, God, would you not be faithful for your servant? Would you not show yourself strong on his behalf? Second Chronicles, as his eyes are looking to and fro throughout the earth, seeking hearts that are fully committed to him, that he would show himself strong on their behalf. That's the Bible that I read, that's the Bible that I believe, and that's the Bible that we've got to live. Either we believe this thing or we are wasting our times on Sunday mornings. We've got to walk this thing out each and every day. It's just not American Christianity anymore. It's just not, I just show up to church and I'm going to serve, you know, at the special event. No, every day I'm fighting for every inch that I can in the faith spiritual world. I got to have a perspective like that. I have to, and you have to. Otherwise, it gets hijacked quickly. Boy, does it get hijacked quickly. I want to read a scripture to you. This is coming out of 2 Kings chapter 6. This is Elisha the prophet. Elisha is a foreshadowing of Jesus. The word Elisha, El means God. Isha means who saves. Elisha's name means the God who saves. So he is a precursor to Jesus, who comes as the God who saves. And so here's Elisha, who studied under the man Elijah. Right? And so here he is, he's coming in, and Elijah did however many miracles, I'm not totally sure that we see chronicalized in scripture. Elisha did twice as many. He said, God, I want a double portion. I want a double anointing to come on our lives. So
So the king of Aram, this is 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, was at war with Israel. After conferring with his officers, he said, I will set up camp in such and such a place. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of the passing of that place because the Arameans are going down there. So the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by that man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. God was speaking to this man. He was telling him what was going on. He had prophetic insight. Everybody else was listening to the reports of the day. He was tapped into a much higher source. Good God Almighty. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned the officers and demanded them, tell me, who of us is on the side of the king of Israel? Did I read all of that? I think I skipped something. Verse 9, the man of God sent word to the king of Israel, beware of the passing of that place because of the Arameans. Did I say that? Where am I? Verse 10, so the king of Israel checked on the place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such a place. This enraged the king of Aram. He summoned his officers and demanded of them, tell me, which of us is on the side of the king of Israel? None of us, my lord, the king, said one of his officers, but Elisha the prophet who is in Israel tells the king of Israel the very words you speak in your bedroom. Woo! This guy had access to insight much higher than anybody else going on. How many of y'all would love for your pastor to know the conversations going on in your bedroom? Trust me, I do not want to know. The pastor's clued in. The prophet of God can hear what's going on. And the reports from the servants of the king are saying, he's tapped the phone lines. He's reading our emails. He has access. He's like the original NSA. Like this guy, he is sneaky good. He knows what you are doing in your bedroom. Like he hears everything, what is going on. It's like the new feature on the iPhone, the new COVID thing underneath your health button. Anybody? It's in your settings. Yeah, they're following you. They know what's up. It's checking in. And this is Elisha before all the technology. He had the ghost checking in. What is happening? Verse 13, go find out where he is, the king ordered, so I can send men and capture them. The report came back, he is in Dothan. Then they sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and he went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Now, just real quick, the enemy is coming in, horses and chariots. Got it? And so Elisha's young prodigy, he's studying under Elisha. He's the servant. He might even be taking over Elisha's spot at some point. And he is looking at this and he's like, oh my goodness, this is making me a little bit nervous. I'm shaking in my tunic a little bit. Verse 15, when the servant of the man of God got up and he went out early the next morning, an army with, did I already say that? Do not be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed. This is what he prayed. This is the whole point of the message. All of that was just an introduction. I can't wait to finally get to my message. Are y'all ready? Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw. He looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Dun 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 dun. Chariots of fire. You ever wonder what chariots of fire would look like made in 2020? No, me neither. All right. Having the proper vision matters. And he prayed, God, I've got to have the people around me open their eyes. Moses missed it. Other people along the way have missed it. But if they're going to be around me, they better have their eyes open. So God, I'm praying, would you open my servant's eyes? Because I can't roll with him unless he can see like you see. If he doesn't have faith like I have, it's just not going to work out. This guy's got to get it. He's got to get this thing, Lord. So I pray, would you open his eyes? Because we are surrounded on every side by the enemy. But look to the hill. And when he looked, he saw chariots of fire surrounding the man of God. You do not, what you see before your eyes is not always reality. It just isn't. There is a supernatural thing, and the supernatural is more real than what you see before your very eyes, because we're dealing with a supernatural God. And if you want to live in this natural world, you will succumb to a natural world. If you want to live with a supernatural God, you will live in a supernatural way. It's just how we see things. And so God began to open this thing up, and they began to see things differently. And things may happen around you, the experiences, things may have happened to you, things may be happening going on around you, but I'll tell you, the most important thing is what's happening in you, and we need God to do something in us, in our hearts, in our courage, in our faith, in our eyes, in our mindset. That's the most important. I know what happened around you was a bummer. I know those things that happened to you were hard and they were sinful, but what is going on in you right now is he's taking all things that are old and he's making them new again. He's taking all things that are dead and causing them to come alive again. It's supernatural. He wants to do something. This is why we're following this man, Jesus Christ. We're laying down the old and we're saying yes to this new resurrected way to live. We're fully alive in him. And it's time that the church lives fully, courageous, and finally alive, confident in him. 2 Kings 6:18, he keeps going, as the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. Let their eyes be jacked up. So he struck them with blindness as Elisha had asked, and Elisha told them, this is not the road, and this is not the city. So the enemy king comes up, knocks on the door. Hey, are you the guy? Because we didn't want to kill you. You tapped our phone lines. That wasn't cool, man. You kind of know everything that's going on, so we're going to shoot you. That's kind of how it went down. I'm serious on this one. And he says, I'm not the guy. This isn't even the road. You're in the wrong city, man. Hey, sorry, you missed it, is what Elijah said. Follow me, though. I will lead you to the man that you're looking for. He is so sneaky. What a little sneak. And he led them to Samaria. J.D. Greer, he talks about Hebrew scholars that see this passage, they say it wasn't like total blindness, because if there was total blindness, they would just be stumbling each other, running their horse and chariots off the cliff, just dropping, you know, dead. But what this word blindness means is they were delusioned. They were confused. When they looked on a thing, they saw it differently. It wasn't accurate. They knew exactly where they were going. They walked right up to the city gates. Elisha comes walking out full of confidence. Hey, are you the guy? And I can see that you aren't seeing things correctly, and it's hilarious. Let me show you where the guy is. From where they were to the walk to Samaria was about 12 miles. That's about a three-hour walk. Can you imagine walking with your enemies for 12 miles? What do you think the small talk was? Like, hey, man, like, did you see the game last night? You know? The weather? Like, what? What are they talking about? Elisha probably didn't reveal too much about himself, but he takes them right up to the city gates of Samaria, and they were surrounded, and they were conquered. I want to say this, how you see will either free you and liberate you, or it will lead you into bondage. It just will. Just will. And I'll tell you, we're all living through similar stuff, but there's some people that see it very differently. And there's some people that just have joy through the journey. They got joy in the job, they laugh while they labor, they whistle while they work, and you're like, you are just crazy. How are you doing this thing? There's just a joy from Jesus. You're just tapped into a higher place. You're sitting at the throne room. And I want to encourage this church, we've got to go higher. We got to get up to the Hancock. We got to see it differently. You got to put on some rec specs or something. You got to change your contact lens and start seeing it a little bit different. And the final E is environment. Part of the part of the reason that Moses didn't go. It wasn't just experience and it wasn't education. He did his education. He got back the reports. But also the environment. And so the atmosphere in which you live, it's got to be in the presence, right? We've got to be intentional with those that we have speaking into our lives. The ecosystem has to be ripe and ready for certain fruit to grow. And the fruit of faith has to be surrounded by people that are fiery and hot and that provoke your faith. It just does. It has to be. Whenever we went out to this past week, we were given an opportunity to paint our bus. And you could go out and paint your school bus. And we went out there, and what I saw with my two eyes was this messed up, raggedy, old school bus. And it was our family and Musselman's and Andrew and Tom and Diana came out. And Diana saw something very different. I saw this, there's not a chance. We're going to slap some paint on it and call it a day. And she comes out with this vision. I mean, the artistic flow was just flowing. And the beauty of who she is artistically had an expression on this bus. It was amazing. And then Andrew and I, we get up and we tape off on the roof of this bus. We tape off Brock, my name. And that was like our whole vision. We're like, dude, we nailed it. Until Dustin shows up. And Dustin's like, hey, here's how I see it. What if we scoot the B back a little bit and it's B rock? And in the O, we put a lightning bolt right through the middle of it. And on the end, we do like two fists that are, you know, fist bumping on the end of this bus. And I'm like, oh, I'm getting fired up. I don't know how we're going to pull it off, but I like it. I like it. How many of y'all know it takes somebody that sees it differently to inspire you? And I just want to just encourage you this morning, if for nothing else, be inspired just to take a chance to see God as powerful. I just want to provoke the heart, maybe believe God that he's good, even in the midst of the hardship. Martin Luther, he said this. He said the essence of sin is just a lack of faith in the goodness of God. That's what it is. It's a lack of faith in the goodness of God. That's what sin is. And we're anchoring our hope in somewhere else other than that he's good. People. And I'll tell you this, it's a fight because you got to fight for perspective because some neighbors might want to pull you in. The news report might want to pull you in. What's going on in your marriage might want to pull you into a place of doubt. Where you see your kids going, what's happening at work, all that stuff might want to pull you in. But you've got to fight for it. Frederick Douglass, he said this. He said, you might not get everything that you fight for, but you better believe you have to fight for everything you get. In the same way, we've got to fight for a perspective that is anchored in Jesus. I want to pray for us, and I want to pray the prayer of Elisha. And the prayer of Elisha is a prayer that says, God, would you open up our eyes that we would see as you see. And it is chariots that are on fire. Anybody down for that prayer? Would y'all stand with me as we close this morning? Jesus, you are so good. And our hope is anchored. As we sang this morning, you are the cornerstone. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and your righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I only lean on Jesus' name. Lord, we do not sing that half-heartedly or flippantly. We sing that from our toes, from our very guts. We believe that you're for us and you are not against us. And now I just ask you the same prayer of Elisha, God, that you would open up the eyes of your people. Let your servant see clearly as you see it. Give us a perspective. Let us gain some altitude on how we see things, God. Do a supernatural work in our mindset that we would have the mind of God. We'd operate with the mind of Christ. We would see and live and move the way that you would have us do it. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.